91.3 WLRN presents South Florida Arts Beat. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Today, Michael Ellert, bassoonist with the Palm Beach Chamber Music Festival, speaks with Charles Greenfield about their concerts taking place throughout Palm Beach County. Carol Hoffman Guzman is back as acting director of the Arts at St. John's series on Miami Beach. We'll hear about her exciting plans for the program. In a segment replay, film critic Dan Hudak interviews the director and lead actor in the film, Living is Easy with Eyes Closed, which is held over through mid-July in theaters in both Coral Gables and Fort Lauderdale. Chef Norman Van Aken and our Miami-Dade calendar featuring Deborah Margol wrap up our holiday show. Please stay with us for the conversation and information coming up on South Florida Arts Beat right after these news updates from NPR and the WLRN Miami Herald News. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Carol Hoffman talks about exciting events coming up for Arts at St. John's on Miami Beach. Film critic Dan Hudak reprises a look at the film Living is Easy with Eyes Closed, now being held over at theaters in Coral Gables and Fort Lauderdale through mid-July. Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food, and our arts calendar today features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Now, Charles Greenfield previews a new season of offerings from the Palm Beach Chamber Music Festival, now in its 23rd year.
South Florida is no longer a provincial backwater for music and cultural activities. With powerful musical anchors like the Arts Center and Miami Beach's New World Symphony, there has been a shift among smaller organizations in the arts to consolidate in harder economic times through creating imaginative funding and discovering less exploited niches. In the northern area of South Florida, namely the Palm Beaches, musical activity has remained strong and somewhat under the radar. A fine example is the Palm Beach Chamber Music Festival. Not surprisingly, they have found summertime as an opportunity to shine. For over 22 years, under the leadership of clarinetist Michael Forte, flutist Karen Dixon, and bassoonist Michael Ellert, all three principal chairs in the Palm Beach Opera Orchestra, this trio of professional musicians has gathered 19 fine regional chamber and symphonic players and has elicited their suggestions for programs that serve Palm Beach and Broward audiences. Their 2014 summer series, In July, features music from Schubert to Defia. Ellert studied at Juilliard with Harold Goltzer and in Israel with Mordecai Reckman of the Israel Philharmonic. Besides being principal bassoonist of the Palm Beach Opera Orchestra, he freelances for the Southwest Florida Symphony in Fort Myers, Boca Raton Sinfonia, and is bassoonist of the Opus One Orchestra of the Miami City Ballet. He's on the board of directors and is a founding member of the Palm Beach Chamber Music Festival, appearing on all six Chamber Music Palm Beach CDs on the Clavier Music Production label. Recently, I spoke to Michael Ellert about the Palm Beach Chamber Music Festival, its history, organization, and the summer festival from July 3rd to July 27th. Michael Ellert, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you, Charles, for having us on again this year.
Michael, give us a quick history of the Palm Beach Chamber Music Festival, its origins, organizers, and mission statement.
In 1992, Michael Forte and Karen Dixon and I, who are all principal musicians of the Palm Beach Opera Orchestra, decided that we wanted to do something during the summer when nobody was supposedly around. And we talked to Lee Bell from, at that point, he was at Palm Beach Community College in Lake Worth, and he gave us the venue, the small theater at the Palm Beach Community College there, Theater West, I think it's called. And we started a chamber music festival with about 10 musicians, no pay, and three concerts, actually. Our mission statement basically has been to utilize local musicians and give them work during the time when there was no work.
Well, summer has changed a little bit recently. More people are beginning to stay home, I suppose, and go to concerts. It's certainly busier than it was a decade ago. Now, can you briefly tell us the venues that you currently are using?
Yes, we have three venues. We do Friday night, we do at Palm Beach Atlantic University in downtown West Palm Beach at the Helen K. Person Recital Hall in the Music Building. We do Saturday nights at the EC Campus Theater and Palm Beach State College up in Palm Beach Gardens, and Sunday afternoons at Delray Center for the Arts at the Old School Square in Delray Beach.
How do you determine what your anchor pieces will be? What is your approach to choosing the right composer?
Actually, that comes from the musicians themselves. We send out a questionnaire every year and ask people what they would like to play. Generally speaking, they want to play big pieces. So once we determine what the big pieces are based on their requests, then we work around the big piece and get the smaller pieces.
Tell us again how many musicians are in the group.
We have a core group of 12 musicians. It's basically a woodwind quintet, which is flute, oboe, clarinet, bassoon, horn, and a string quintet, two violins, viola, cello, bass, and then a trumpet and a piano. And that's our core group. And then we will add as many musicians as we need to cover a certain piece.
I guess that actually means that you can go from the Baroque to modern quite easily with that size.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that we really have also in our mission statement is that the programs are varied. You'll never hear an entire program of string quartets or woodwind quintets or brass quintets. We mix it up, and we can basically cover any period of music.
You started yesterday with your first concert in July, which is 4 weeks of concerts. The composers for tonight and tomorrow will be Malcolm Arnold, Herbert Howells, and Johann Hummel. What is the design for this program? Tell us about the selections and the challenge to your musicians. Last year, you told me your festival should be called the Just Trust Us Festival.
Well, that's, again, happening this summer. Johann Hummel was requested by our trumpet player, Mark Reese, who teaches at Lynn University and used to play with the Empire Brass. There's not that much chamber music with trumpet, and so finding pieces for him is always a challenge, and that's how the Hummel came on board. Then once we get that, then we have to work around it. The Malcolm Arnold is a piece that we've actually recorded. It's flute, viola, and bassoon. And the Herbert Howells was something that actually is for clarinet and string quartet, but our cellist is the one who requested it, and we finally were able to give her her request.
Week 2, July 11th through the 13th, the program features two well-known composers, Mozart and Dohnányi, two less-known, Alexis Roland-Manuel and Eugene Goossens. What is your strategy in this concert, and how difficult are the works for a summer audience?
Again, the Dohnányi was the anchor piece for this weekend, and we've done it before at least 10 or 15 years ago. And we have a different horn player than we did then. We have a different pianist than we did then. And we decided that the piece is so wonderful, it was worth a repeat with different musicians. One of the wonderful things about chamber music is that you change one person in the group, and the whole mood of the piece kind of changes a little bit. Eugene Goossens is a British composer. We have a lot of Brits this year, Goossens and Howells and Malcolm Arnold. And it's flute, violin, and harp, which is a great combination of instruments. So we're doing that. The Roland Manuel, again, was a trumpet piece that Michael Forte found for us in Europe. Even though he doesn't play on it, he actually found it and brought it back for me. And the Mozart Oboe Quartet is one of the greatest chamber music pieces ever written for the oboe.
In week 3, July 18th through the 20th, you start with Schubert's Quartet in C minor and three other composers, Claude Paul Taffanel, James Stevenson, and George Onslow. It sounds like a very interesting program.
Well, James Stevenson is a friend of ours. He's alive, and he used to play the trumpet, hence trumpet, violin, piano. Claude Taffanel is a basic of the woodwind quintet repertoire. And George Onslow, although not well known, is a prolific composer from the 19th century.
And the Schubert, of course, most people have heard, so that will be a solid favorite. You end the summer festival in week four, July 25th through the 27th, with Francais, Defaya, Mendelssohn, and Glinka.
Yes, this is correct. The Defaya is a trumpet and piano piece. The Francais, again, standard French composer, again with harp. The Glinka is a wonderful trio for clarinet, bassoon, and piano, and the Felix Mendelssohn is a brilliant quartet for a string quartet.
What are you planning for the fall, and are there some CDs that might be available for the public?
Yes, we have six CDs that we've recorded on the Clavier music label, and they're always for sale before, during intermission, and after the concerts. And we have another fall festival of three concerts. We've added a venue. Lynn University is still our Thursday night. Friday night, we're at St. Andrew's Church in Lake Worth. And now we've added the Lighthouse Arts Center in the Jupiter to Cuesta area. It's a wonderful new addition to our festival.
Well, Michael, I want to thank you so much. And this summer sounds really exciting. And thank you again for attending South Florida Arts Beat.
And thank you for having us again, Charles.
The Palm Beach Chamber Music Festival has been bringing enjoyable and accessible music to Palm Beach County audiences now for over 22 years. With their combination of romantics like Beethoven and Dvorak, modern composers such as Villa-Lobos, Cacciatorian, and Dognani, and lesser-known contemporary composers. For information, call 1-800-330-6874 or go to their website at pbcmf.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program, film critic Dan Hudak takes a look at a new Spanish film, partially concerning the Beatles, that is being held over for extended screenings in Coral Gables and Fort Lauderdale. Chef Norman Van Aken plates up a word on food, and our calendar features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. She's back! Yes, Carol Hoffman Guzman, as acting director, has returned to guide a new season of events at the cherished Arts at St. John's on Miami Beach. We spoke with her recently to find out about all the details. Carol Hoffman Guzman, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
I am so happy to be here.
It's so nice to have you back here in South Florida. Number one, you took off a little hiatus, and now you're back as acting director of the Arts at St. John's series, which is a magnificent series. We look forward to it every year, and congratulations. Good to have you back where you belong.
Thank you. This was my baby, and I'm taking care of it, even though it's a teenager now.
Well, it is your baby. You were the founder in 1999, and give us a sense of those early days.
Well, we'd never realized quite how it was going to develop. We were interested in something that was not your ordinary arts organization. We wanted to promote local artists, utilize the arts to address social issues, and also to build community. And we were so surprised at how much people loved it. Only about 40% of our attendees come from Miami Beach, where we're located, and the rest come from all over Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, particularly because we have unique events and we juxtapose unusual kinds of arts.
Well, you certainly have become all-inclusive over the years. You've been offering dance, theater, cultural, historical events, events for kids, opera, film, spoken word, and it goes on and on. And really, the whole program essentially grew from your wonderful producing efforts.
Thank you.
Now, your new season opens up, towards the end of July?
We're finishing out our old season, which will go from July through September. And then we start our new season back in October. But it's all really a continuum.
Let's talk about, you love jazz. Bravo. Thank you so much. Towards the end of July, you bring back a favored musician that you've worked with for, I believe, a number of years.
Right, Nestor Zurita. And we've worked together for maybe about 4 or 5 years. And he was very instrumental in creating jazz programs that brought in different cultures to work together, like jazz from the Middle East, jazz from behind the Iron Curtain. And he has done some incredible things. And so when I heard that I was being invited back on short notice, I said, Nestor, let's do some things. So we're starting out on July 26th, which is the end of this month, with a concert called Intimate Conversations with Two Sax Addicts.
I love your sense of humor. That's a great title.
And that's Nestor's. It'll be Nestor and Felipe Lamogia.
And two great saxophonists here in South Florida. So that is Saturday, July 26th.
Right.
And tell us about the area where the concerts take place.
Well, we're going to have all the concerts inside in the main auditorium because it is too hot and humid outside. We do have some wonderful programs sometimes that are on our back patio on Lake Surprise, but it's just too hot. We'll do those maybe later in the fall. And actually, the church where we have them, St. John's on the Lake, is expanding that patio, so we'll have more room for the audience.
Wonderful. Now, you're back, and I believe you've welcomed back David Kingery, have
yes.
you not?
Yes, this is really sort of fortuitous. David was away for a couple years up in Pennsylvania trying out some different things, and he decided he missed South Florida. So he came back just about the time that I was coming on board, and I invited him to come on as an artistic director and stage manager. And he has several things that he's working on. And one of them is sort of in the line of something he did several years ago, which was called Bible on Broadway. But this is going to be all about the songs that are related to the book of Genesis. And we think we might call it Yahweh on Broadway.
Ah.
But we're not sure yet. It's still in the process. And by some of this stuff that I'm telling you about is not confirmed yet solidly as the time or the date. So what I'm suggesting is that people go onto our website because we will have those listed there. And that's www.artsatstjohns.com.
Very good. So that hopefully will take place in late August.
Perhaps. Yes. And we also have another jazz person coming in, a new person for us, Vaughn Henry. And she's going to do a one-woman jazz performance featuring all the music of Bessie Smith.
Wow. Now, one woman, she's not bringing her band with her.
I don't think this time. She may have an accompanist or two. But and it's sort of interpretive. I know it's not just her singing, but also she has some things she talks about the life of Bessie Smith.
Wow. Another one-woman show about a great American legend, like magnificent. We've got one about Billie Holiday, live at Emerson's Barn Grill. That has played around the area for a number of years. And maybe Vaughn is developing yet another theatrical piece. Now, I see in October, hopefully, you'll be inviting back Nestor Zurita, and he'll be playing on the magnificent iwi, the electronic wind instrument, which I don't hear often enough.
I haven't even heard one before. I'm very curious about. Tell me what you know.
I don't know that much, but a number of years ago, it was developed, and the electronic wind instrument is kind of like a saxophone.
With a synthesizer.
With a synthesizer.
So he's really excited about this. It's something he's wanting to do for a long time. And then throughout the year, we'll have Nestor in for a variety of things. But there's something I'd like to tell you about,
sure.
too, that is sort of a signature event for the upcoming season, for the fall and spring. And it is a project that we're calling Convivencia Miami, which means a bringing together or living together. There was a period in Spain, in Iberia, in the Middle Ages, that was called La Convivencia, and it was a period when the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims all lived together in relative harmony.
Mm.
And we think this is a very appropriate model for cultural understanding and tolerance and cross-fertilization in South Florida. And we're going to do many different events over a period of maybe 4, 5, 6 months, where we'll be bringing in artists, performers, scholars, linguistic experts, writers, architects, and the public to discuss and celebrate the interwoven influences of music, dance, even food and gardens, which is one of my loves, and religion. So I think it's going to be very interesting. We're sort of fluffing out this whole series now, and we'll have, the fall, we'll have it all ready to put before the public.
So stay in touch with the artsatstjohns.com website. And as we wrap up in our final 60 seconds with Carol Hoffman Guzman, acting director of the Arts at St. John's series, tell us about your LGBTQ events.
Yes. The Arts at St. John's, years ago when we first started, had a memorial concert and we brought in the AIDS quilt. And ever since then, we've had all sorts of gay related and focused events. We're going to be starting the Miami Beach Alliance Honor Chorale, which is a choir for high school gay and straight students, and that's going to be starting probably in the spring. And we're also going to have an interesting flute concert next June featuring music by gay composers. And then we have some other stuff that we haven't really finalized yet, but it's going to be, you know, really a fun year, and we just hope that we get lots of people in to enjoy it with us.
Well, Carol Hoffman Guzman, thank you so much for joining us again on South Florida Arts Beat. Welcome back.
Thanks. It's been great.
Please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. South Florida Arts Beat returns in just a moment. South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken dishes out a word on food, and our arts calendar features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Now, we rebroadcast a segment from last week on a new Spanish film that has had such a great reception that it is being held over in Coral Gables and Fort Lauderdale theaters through mid-July. Here's our film critic, Dan Hudak.
Living is easy with eyes closed. Misunderstanding all you see. It's getting hard to be someone, but it all works out.
We all have our idols, the people we look up to and admire for their intelligence, athleticism, talent, or any combination thereof. In an ideal world, we'd get to meet our idols and have them be every bit as wonderful as we imagined. But of course, the world is rarely ideal, though that doesn't stop us from dreaming. For Antonio San Roman in the new film Living is Easy with Eyes Closed, meeting John Lennon would mean everything. It's 1966 in Spain, and with the Beatles still incredibly popular, Lennon takes a break from the band and ventures to Almeria on the southern coast of Spain to shoot a movie, which the Spaniard Antonio, a schoolteacher, sees as a golden opportunity to meet his idol and discuss his work. Naive Antonio thinks he can simply request an audience with Lennon and they'll chat. He soon learns it's not that easy. Along the way to the coast, Antonio picks up two hitchhikers, a pregnant woman and teenage boy, both of whom are running away from their problems. Together, they make an unlikely trio, but also a symbiotic one that forms touching, lasting relationships that resonate with genuine poignancy. Indeed, this is a wonderful, warm film, the winner of 6 Goya Awards, the Spanish Oscars, including Best Picture, Best Actor for Javier Cámara, and Best Director and Screenplay for David Treba. With Living is Easy with Eyes Closed getting its national release in South Florida at the Coral Gables Arts Cinema and Cinema Paradiso in Broward, we were fortunate to welcome Cámara and Treba to the downtown Miami WLRN studio to discuss the film.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields.
Javier, David, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat. David, I want to start with you. The film, we know it's based on a true story of a teacher who ventured off to meet Lennon. How did you come to this story?
Well, that was by accident. I was on holidays in the south of Spain in Almeria, where the film took place, and we shot it there. And I was with my kids there, and suddenly one day they were celebrating like 40 years of the stay of John Lennon in Almeria, doing a movie there with Richard Lester and a British movie. And so they were celebrating that, and they were putting like this big monument on Lennon's. And suddenly somebody was telling this anecdotes around that time, and it was this anecdote about this English teacher that was using Beatles songs to teach English to Spanish students, and he met Lennon, and he was looking for Lennon because he was using this song, and he was telling that Lennon, John Lennon, was very surprised to discover, because he was a bad student when he was a young guy, so he was very, very surprised that somebody was using their songs to teach English. So, and he wanted to help this guy, and this story, this anecdote was, for me, it was like an example of, you know, the kind of characters that I like, the kind of people that I like to put in my movies, you know, the people that they don't stop in the difficulties, you know, when they think they can do something, they can improve their work, they can do things better. So they do it and they fight for that. And so I started to think maybe this is a good film.
And Living is Easy with Eyes Closed, people will, of course, recognize the lyrics from the Beatles song Strawberry Fields Forever. How did you come to choose that as the title?
Well, that was a long travel too, because the film was originally titled, it has an official title called Almeria 1966, which is the time when Lennon came to Spain, and when this thing happened, and the teacher, you know, he's a real teacher in Spain. He's becoming now 90 this week on the 29th. And so that was at that time. But I didn't like it very much, that title. You know, it was like a working title. And so I was looking for something that tells a little bit of the sunny side of the story, you know, because this teacher is a very bright character. He's charming, he's generous, he's an idealist, this kind of Don Quixote kind of personality. And suddenly I started to read the lyrics of this song that Lennon made in Spain, because the funny thing is that he composed that song when he was in Spain, which is very important for us. So I was reading Strawberry Fields Forever, and one of the first verses says, "Living is easy with eyes closed." And I understood that Lennon was speaking about the difficulties between reality and dreams and ideals, and how do you deal with that, with your success? How do you continue to be a person that even you are very famous, but you continue to do the things you like to do, and you consider yourself free. And so that he was in at that difficulty at that time. And I think the teacher and the character of the movie, the central character of the movie, he's having the same problems. He's always fighting against reality with his ideals. And suddenly this verse, "Living is easy with eyes closed," just opened for me the real significance of the whole film.
Javier, you play the teacher mm-hmm. in the film. Did you get a chance to meet the real gentleman on whom the film is based?
Well, I remember the first rehearsal with David. We were talking about how to build this character. No? And he started to write the script without any knowledge about this man. And I thought that it was good for me to compose a character only by my own, no? But the day that we were taking our cars to go through Almeria, in the middle of the way was this teacher's home. And of course we called him, and we thought that it was a real baptism to know this man with all our work behind us, and to put something in contact, no? For me it was like a real baptism. And it was a very nice day. And I recognized this man. I recognized something that I was working on it, no, in this character. He's a man who is, he's a teacher. He's a real teacher. He's a man who knows, who wants to know about you. He's not a man who is giving answers. He's a man who is asking, how are you? What are you doing? A lot of questions. And I love this kind of attitude in his life, no? And and I thought, okay, this attitude is going to help me to close the character, and I was really happy to meet him because I think he's a very energetic guy.
We're talking with writer-director David Treba and actor Javier Cámara. The film is Living is Easy with Eyes Closed. Makes its North American exclusive opening run this weekend at Coral Gables Arts Cinema and Cinema Paradiso up in Fort Lauderdale. Javier, you've also worked with Pedro Almodovar, mm-hmm. very popular here in the yeah. States. You were in Bad Education. You were in Talk to Her. Can you compare working with David here with Almodovar?
Oh, okay, I can. That's incomparable. Well, I don't know. For me, it's the same. I don't think about what kind of a style a movie have or what kind of director I'm going to work with. I think the best idea is... My first question is how to put my soul in the character. I want to build a character, and I need help. And I recognize that the film is from the director, and I have to help this director to make his films. And sometimes it's Pedro, sometimes it's David Trueba, or sometimes it's another director, or Isabel Coixet. But I don't think about... but, well, work with David, it was fantastic because he was really relaxed. As soon as we met together to talk about the script, he told me, "Don't worry about the rehearsals. Let's go to rehearsals as soon as we were in the desert in Almeria. Don't worry about it." And I discovered for myself that it was really good, that because this is a road movie, and it's not only a trip for the character, but for the actor too. And it's a kind of knowledge across the film, no? And for me, it was a trip. It was a fantastic journey, and share this trip with David.
David, I need to ask you this. The licensing rights to use the Beatles' music in Strawberry Fields Forever is in the film. Mad Men recently paid $250,000 to use a song from the Beatles' catalog.
But Mad Men has a lot of money, you know?
That's true, and this is a relatively low-budget movie. How did you negotiate all that?
Well, at one time we in the negotiation, it was a very long negotiation because we had this small budget, you know, typical Spanish medium movie is not comparable to a big American studio film. At one time they asked for the material of the film, what the story is about, what are we, in what context you are using this song. And even I had to show them one of the sequences of the film, edit for them. Just to see if they allow us to use it. And I have to say they were very generous because they loved the movie, they loved the idea, and so that made things easier for us.
Gentlemen, as a critic, you see a lot of movies. You see, okay, this movie won 6 Goya Awards, Spanish Oscars, and sometimes you see things and you're like, yeah, what was the big deal? this is a genuinely touching, heartwarming movie. So congratulations with it.
Thank you.
Your fantastic job, and best of luck.
Thank you, because we are very proud of this film.
Living is Easy with Eyes Closed is now playing exclusively in Miami at the Coral Gables Arts Cinema, 260 Aragon Avenue in Coral Gables, and exclusively in Broward at Cinema Paradiso Fort Lauderdale, 503 Southeast 6th Street, and Cinema Paradiso Hollywood, 2008 Hollywood Boulevard. For more information, go to GablesCinema.com or FLIFF.com. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Dan Hudak.
Chairman Emeritus of the Florida Film Critics Circle, Dan Hudak is a nationally syndicated film critic. You can visit him online at HudakOnHollywood.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue right after these messages. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim frim sauce with the aus and fade, with shafafa on the side.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is scones. My grandmother made scones. Her maiden name was Janie Quinn, so she came by that knowledge like her Scottish cousins did, birthright. In Scotland, scones are not something just to go with tea. They are a national institution. When my grandmother, Nana, made them, she was serious to the point of severe. I picked up on it, and she caused me to love them like I learned to love standing up in our grade school classroom reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. The smell of books, glue, soaped-up girls, and pencil lead were much less alluring to me than the smell of Nana's scones emerging from the oven we had at our home on the shore of Diamond Lake. For a while, our son Justin decided to have a go at living in Key West again. He was born there and lived, by his own account, an idyllic early life. We all moved to Miami when he was about 8 years of age due to my work. But when he was about to become a father, he and his wife went to Key West like they'd been given a spiritual call. He went to work in a small restaurant that made a variety of foods. My wife, Janet, and I went down to visit with him and the young family, which includes his wife, Lourdes, as well as our angelic granddaughter, Audrey Quinn Van Aken. As we were about to head back to Miami, he phoned me and asked us to stop at his place of work for coffee. He had a surprise. He'd baked us his own version of scones. His were coconut lime scones. Only relatively recently have genius and invention been closely coupled. In ancient times, genius was viewed as the gift of uncovering that which was previously known. Inventing and creating new things, the very act of creation itself, was viewed as the exclusive province of God, and those who tried to create were dangerous usurpers. To create originally, without precedent, pattern, or model, was never the ideal of the ancient artist or sage, and indeed the ancients frequently denied the very prospect. Many, if not most, modern chefs seek to create. Nana did not, nor was she a chef. But the quandary we face at times is what is good as is and what could use a tweak. Scones in Scotland are eaten like bagels are eaten in New York, ubiquitously. The word may come from the Gaelic word scone. In 1929, the prominent Scottish food writer Marion McNeil wrote in her landmark The Scots Kitchen that scones were a shapeless mass. Nana's were not, and I'd pity anyone suggesting as such to her. Hers were cut pie-shaped, with that first bite of the triangle going into my happy mouth while just short of being hot enough to burn me. I loved the crumbly texture I would anoint with sweet creamery butter and our homemade strawberry jam we made each year. I stand on a bridge of time between Nana and her great-grandson, my son. It gives me the joy of looking at each of them and hearing this transcendent recipe sharing. I am graced in that Nana got to know Justin before she moved to heaven. She taught him colors. As I ate his coconut lime scone for the first time, crossing the 7-mile bridge, I realized his were better than his great-grandmother's. She would be proud. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of the memoir, No Experience Necessary, The Culinary Odyssey of Norman Van Aken. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Butchery. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome back Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. A lot going on in Miami-Dade County, I bet.
As always, but it being the 4th, you know, it's a perfect excuse to be outside and enjoying our beautiful South Florida. So
yes.
Lots of great celebrations going on today, top to bottom, east to west of this magnificent county. And if you are lucky enough to be off today and enjoying a day off, or if you just have the evening to go look at the gorgeous fireworks, here are the places you'll want to check out.
Mm-hmm.
July 4th, America Birthday Bash at Bayfront Park in downtown Miami. There's the Hialeah Independence Day celebration at Mylander Park. Miami Beach's 4th of July celebration. They're actually, because it's the beach, they have to have not one, but two. So there's one along Ocean Drive, which is centered principally at 8th Street and Ocean Drive, but expanding down that part of Ocean Drive. And the second one, and their official one this year, has moved to the North Beach area, and this is an all-day festival with food trucks, live music. They'll be presenting the Spam All-Stars, the Marshall Brothers Band, lots of other live performances, and all of this is going to be at the North Beach Bandshell, which is at 73rd and Collins Avenue on Miami Beach. There's the 4th of July in Coconut Grove celebration at Peacock Park, Key Biscayne's 4th of July parade along Crandon Boulevard on Key Biscayne, the 4th of July celebration at Miami Children's Museum, which is at 980 MacArthur Causeway, right between downtown and Miami Beach on the MacArthur Causeway, which is I-395. There's an old-fashioned July 4th picnic at the Barnacle Historic State Park in Coconut Grove. And at the Homestead Miami Speedway is Homestead's official 4th of July celebration. The majority of these celebrations will try to kick off their fireworks at about 9 p.m., but there are events certainly all evening and in many cases all day long. So no reason to stay home and not get out and see some fantastic fireworks and just have a great fun day as a family.
Heck, it's Friday.
Exactly, it's a Friday. Nobody has any excuses. And then, of course, opening next Thursday, July 10th, is the 29th anniversary year of the International Hispanic Theater Festival. 2.5 solid weeks of outstanding performances, staged readings, award ceremonies, forums with the actors, directors, and playwrights, photography exhibits, and an International Children's Day celebration. The performances will take place at venues throughout Miami, including the Arts Center, Miami-Dade College, Miami-Dade County Auditorium, the Key Biscayne Community Center. As always, Mario Ernesto Sanchez and Teatro Trovante have teed up an absolutely spectacular celebration of Hispanic theater. Performances are in both English and Spanish, so check the website. They also offer translations, so it's a great opportunity to enjoy some of the best in contemporary Hispanic theater. And that's July 10th all the way through the 27th all over town. On Friday, July 11th, Fundarte is presenting an evening that includes a work-in-progress screening of a feature documentary titled A Todo Color, Borrando Distancias con Rock and Roll y Timba. The evening will also include live music by special guest Tiempo Libre and a photography exhibit by Elvis Suarez titled A Todo Color, A Still City. And this whole performance is being presented in partnership with the Onstage Black Box Series at Miami-Dade County Auditorium and is part of the Knight Foundation's New Works Project. And that's next Friday, July 11th at 8:30 p.m. at Miami-Dade County Auditorium.
And Tiempo Libre is just superb.
They're unbelievable. I just love, love. So it's going to be a fun, really exciting, and interesting cultural night. So I'd urge everyone to go check that out.
Mm-hmm.
We also have upcoming another favorite, the 22nd Annual International Mango Festival at Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden. That's next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, July 12th and 13th, all day at the gardens. And it will feature lectures and workshops, a mango sampling, of course, cooking demonstrations, mangoes of the world display, a mango medic tent, and actually a mango auction, and all sorts of other special events, yoga, kids' activities, Mangoville. I'm not exactly sure how to describe that. But it should be, as always, an absolutely wonderful celebration of mangoes at Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden. That's next weekend, July 12th and 13th, all day at the gardens. And then a really cool event coming up on July 19th at the African Heritage Cultural Arts Center in Liberty City. Ernest Baker II is presenting a workshop. Ernest Baker II is an urban funk dancer and the U.S. Presidential Scholar of Hip-Hop, the first so-named Scholar of Hip-Hop. Mm. And so that's an extraordinary event, and that's at the African Heritage Cultural Arts Center at 6161 Northwest 22nd Avenue in Liberty City. And then also, just real briefly, remember our museums. If it's too hot to hang out for too long, there's great stuff in all of our museums, so make sure you check out those and get a little bit of respite from the heat while feeding your mind.
And where can we find out more information, Deborah?
Please check out our website. That's miamidadearts.org, miamidadearts, all one word, .org.
Great information from Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Happy holiday, Deborah.
Thank you so much. Have a great long weekend.
And before we go, let me mention Ike's Birthday Bash Jam. Ike and Val Woods will be performing live Tuesday, July 15th at the American Legion, 6445 Northeast 7th Avenue in Miami from 8 till midnight, featuring their special guest, saxophonist Orlando Sanchez. A big happy birthday to South Florida's Ike Woods. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. Tune in on your HD radio or go to our beautiful website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's holiday edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Thanks as well to our technical director, Andy Wagner, and our contributors today, Charles Greenfield, Dan Hudak, Norman Van Aken, and Deborah Margold. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information, 305-995-2221, or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, we'll feature topical currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great holiday weekend, and please, as always, keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.